great that not only we're back in the building, but it's just lovely to hear great singing again. So thank you. It's encouraging to be part of that singing and to hear folks singing around us. I'm going to get my laptop on, Johnny, please. Thanks. I want us to look for a little time at that passage which Heather read from us that day, Galatians chapter 6, the first little portion of Galatians chapter 6. If you're following through the Immerse Bible reading program, then you may have read this during the week. It's great, it's encouraging that so many people are involved in that, just reading the Bible. It's great. And not only reading the Bible, but then getting together and chatting about what God's saying to them through His Word. It's exciting. And so thank you for those who are part of it. At the heart of this passage are sowing and reaping. Now, you're probably looking at me thinking, Stephen, harvest has been and gone. You're in a bit of a time warp. Harvest has been and gone. But it's a theme that should not be linked to just one day or one season. Reaping and sowing. And the interesting thing is that it's the sowing that is crucial. The reapers are the ones who actually go out and bring in the harvest. But they don't have any say in what the harvest is. The ones who have the say in what the harvest is are the ones that actually put the seed in the ground. They determine what the harvest will be and to a large extent whether it'll be a good harvest or not. So the sowing is crucial. And obviously what you sow, you will reap. And we know that. And we don't expect anything else. We don't plant one sort of seed in our gardens or in our fields and expect something else to grow. We just know that what you sow determines what you will reap. But here's the interesting thing. We understand that in our gardens and in our fields, but not always in our lives. In our gardens, we know that what we sow results in what we reap. But we're slow to realize that what we sow in our lives determines what we will reap. And that's where this passage goes. You may have seen this old adage or old saying. You sow a thought and you reap an act. You sow an act and you reap a habit. You sow a habit and you reap a character. You sow a character and you reap a destiny. And it's all about that sowing and that reaping, but it starts just with that thought and it ends up in a destiny. Sowing and reaping. Not just about fields and gardens, it's about lives. And that's where this passage comes in. Because this is not just a thoughtful old saying of some sort. It's also biblical truth. And so in the passage that Heather read for us, we simply read much the same thing. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please his spirit from the spirit will reap eternal life. It's about sowing and reaping. And just as we are intentional in our gardens about what seeds we put in, we need to be intentional in our lives about what we sow. Galatians, if you go back, Galatians chapter 5, you find we're encouraged to walk by the Spirit. And here in this Galatians 6, it's sowing to the Spirit, but it's the same thing. It is opening ourselves up to the work of the Spirit in our lives. Seeking the work of the Spirit. We can't expect to reap the fruit of the Spirit if we're not sowing to the Spirit in the first place. We can't expect our lives to reflect something of the life of Jesus if we're not sowing to the Spirit in the first place. So if we sow to our sinful nature, and you can work out what that means for you, maybe stuff that we watch or listen to that we shouldn't be watching or listening to. It may be harboring a grudge, it may be self-pity, it may be there's that, you know what it is for you. But when we sow to that, then that's what we reap. But the other side of the coin is that holiness is also a harvest. When we sow to the Spirit, then we reap that holiness. So my question to myself and to each of us is, where and what are you sowing in your life? Where and what are you sowing? Now, I'm not talking about your greenhouse or your garden. Where are you sowing? In your life. You're sowing to please what the Bible calls our sinful nature, or are you sowing to the Spirit? How do you sow to the Spirit? Well, again, it's spending time with His Word. It's spending time in prayer. It's spending time in worship. It's spending time in Christian fellowship together. All those ways we sow to the Spirit. And that's why the Immerse Bible reading program, it's not necessarily for everyone, but it's an opportunity to come together to see what God is doing in us through His Word and by His Spirit. But it's interesting. The Bible says there are only two ways to sow. You're either sowing to yourself or you're sowing to the Spirit. We're not given any other options. And also, as you read through the passage, we're either heading for destruction or eternal life, depending on where and how we sow, and that's why it's so important. There are only two ways to live. Sowing to the sinful nature or sowing to please the Spirit, sowing to the Spirit. May God give us the grace to make the right choice. Where and what are you sowing in your life? Because it has eternal consequences. What are you sowing in other people's lives? And all of us influence other people around us in some way, whether we realize it or not, where we're sowing in their lives. And so even at the start of this passage, there's this picture of a church where people care enough about each other to try and help them when they are sowing to that sinful nature. We love them enough to care for them, bring them back. What are you sowing into other people's lives? Is it cynicism, bitterness, grumpiness? Or is it something of the love of Jesus that you're sowing into that life? Where are you sowing? And what are you sowing? So as we seek to live this life and serving and following Jesus Christ, there's sort of a negative and a positive. The negative is we need to avoid sowing to please our sinful nature, because that's the road that leads to destruction. And we need positively to keep on sowing to the Spirit, so that we have that ever deepening relationship with our Heavenly Father when we become more and more like Jesus as we sow to the Spirit. So what are you sowing? Where are you sowing it? Take time to ask yourself that question. Take time to ask God where you're sowing and what you're sowing. Take time to listen to what God says to you. It's about sowing and reaping. And then there's this almost like a a change in the middle of the passage where Paul says, well, let us not become weary in doing good. As though we could become weary of doing good. Compassion fatigue. I don't know that many years ago it was such a thing, but now it's talked about quite often. You remember the days of the first lockdown, when kindness was everywhere. When we went to our front doors, I think it was a Thursday evening, and we simply stood and clapped and banged saucepans to say thank you. When we went out of our way to make a bowl of soup for someone who lived up the street. When we lifted the phone. When we showed kindness. It was all there. And we benefited from it. It held us together, that sense of community spirit, that kindness that was so easily seen, looking out for each other. How quickly we change. We drift back to our old ways. And we can become weary in doing good. Doing good is like planting a seed. And Paul, if you like, is saying, don't stop planting these seeds of kindness. Don't stop planting these seeds of doing good wherever you are. And what's the harvest from that? Well, the harvest may be comfort, relief, help for those around us. So the smiles that we put on faces by these shoeboxes as kids in Ukraine, get that? That's the harvest. Harvest Sunday, a couple of weeks ago, we had our harvest appeal. That appeal is split between Tear Fund and Christian Aid. It's not finished yet. There's still a few bits and pieces to tidy up with it, but I'm told that as of yesterday, there's over £12,000 in that appeal. That's amazing. And that work will go to bring help to folks who desperately need it. You and I may never meet them, but it's a way that we've been doing good. And we've brought relief in Jesus' name to folks far off places. Doing good. The shoeboxes, the appeals, the container going to Eswatini. The last 2 weeks ago, I asked Liz, our treasurer, what was the latest that we'd raised for Eswatini, and I don't remember the exact figure, but it was over £145,000 that you folks have raised to help our brothers and sisters in Eswatini. It is huge. We bring comfort, relief, help. Maybe it just takes the edge off the harshness of life for someone. Maybe our neighbor. Maybe someone we will never meet, but we have just dulled that harshness by doing good. Maybe that doing good has just brought the love of Christ into that life in a way that it never was. That's the harvest. And we're told to do this as we have opportunity. And it might be good to stop for a while and to think about the opportunities that we have to do good. And it doesn't have to be something big and spectacular. It may be the phone call. It may be the bowl of stew. It may be taking someone out for a cup of coffee. It may be a walk on the beach. It may, whatever it is. The opportunities that God gives to you and to me to show good, let's take them. And not grow weary in doing good. And we're called to do good to all people. Especially to those who belong to the family of believers. This is just, where's Wesley? This is just for you, Wesley. I'll have to put a bit of John Wesley in for you. Just this reminder of this verse. And it is so packed, it is so intense, I have to read it. There's no way I'm going to remember this one. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Just do it. Often we spend so much time planning and organizing the good that we're going to do that we never get around to doing it. I remember when our girls were doing exams, they used to spend evenings setting out their exam revision timetables. And they spent so much time doing the timetables that they never actually did the revision, so the next night they had to do a new timetable, and on it went. Sometimes we can be like that when it comes to doing good. We get so intense about it, so working out how we're going to do it, that we just miss out on doing it. And we just need to get on and do it. Doing good to all people, and especially to those in the family of believers, but not only to those in the family of believers. What about those people we don't agree with? How do we do good to them? Because that doing good to people we don't agree with may actually be the softening of a hardened heart. And there's a harvest. Doing good. Let us not become weary in doing good. So this whole passage, this Galatians chapter 6, that first section of that passage, is about sowing and reaping. And don't give up sowing because there is a harvest. Don't give up sowing into your own life, sowing to the Spirit, because there is the harvest of eternal life. Don't give up sowing into the lives of others around you, because that goodness and that kindness will have a harvest. Don't give up. And back to our mission statement again. Know Christ and lovingly to make him known. Knowing Christ, sowing to the Spirit. As we sow to the Spirit, we know Christ, we know him better, we know him more, we love him more, we follow him more closely, we are more obedient to him. Knowing Christ is about sowing to the Spirit, lovingly making him known as doing good to all people. It's important that not only do we know our mission statement, but we know that it's what we're called to be and to do. To sow to the Spirit and do good to all people. May God give us the grace to live this way, to sow again, and not give up. Let's pray together. Lord, in these days we pray that you would, by your Spirit, speak to us. Make it evident to us, Lord, what we do sow and what we need to sow. Where we should sow and where we shouldn't sow. The things, Lord, that we should give up and the things that we shouldn't give up on. Lord, give us the grace we need to serve and to honor you. In Jesus' name. Amen.